In the months since the killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis police custody, protests around the country have called for changes to law enforcement. Those range from cutting police department budgets to increasing transparency and citizen oversight. While a bill related to policing has stalled on the federal level, there are changes being made at the city and state levels. Some of those ideas have been pushed by police reform groups for years. Others might be seen as too little and too late for those demonstrating for change. Karina Zayats is a graduate student at the University of Missouri, currently with the graphics team at USA Today. She worked on a piece mapping the new policies that have gone into place over the last few months. Karina, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, Rob. Thank you for having me.
Can you give us a sense of how widespread new reforms have been around the country in the midst of all these protests?
Yeah, sure. So reforms have been implemented really across the country, from New York, Atlanta, to smaller cities like Arcata in California, with like population 20,000 people.
And there's been a wide range of demands from protesters, and part of the effort here was to share some of those. What are the range of things that we've seen calls for in various protests around the country?
Yeah, it's actually a really wide range, and some protesters are calling for more transparency and asking for, organizing these review boards over police. And I think the most widespread demand is for defunding the police. And others are also asking, for de-escalation policies put in place. So this is a really wide spectrum.
And the defund the police idea, that's meant different things to different people. Some people mean take some of the police budget and put it into other social services that will do things instead of police. Other people looking for more drastic cuts for police departments. That covers a lot of ground, right?
Yeah. So on one side, we see a lot of protesters saying we want reallocation of funds from police toward organizations that support Black communities. And, for example, this was one of the main demands of the petition in Louisville. On the other side, some people are saying, when they are saying that they want to defund the police, they basically mean that they want to get rid of the police.
Well, let's dig into some of the changes that have happened. One, just looking at your charts, it seems like the one that comes up a lot, it has to do with chokeholds, restrictions or bans on police using chokehold techniques, which makes sense after the killing in Minneapolis of George Floyd. Can you talk about some of the places that have taken that measure?
Yeah, sure. So it seems like if you would ask me, what's the most widespread changes? And this is the ban on neck restraints. And these reforms really differ. For example, some cities banned all neck restraints altogether, and some only banned chokeholds. And for example, cities in California, in particular San Diego, banned only carotid restraints. And what's interesting is when I looked at the quotes from protesters, very few said explicitly, we want a ban on neck restraints. This was, I think, this self-evident change that just needed to happen.
We are talking about police reforms around the country at the state and local levels in the midst of months of protests now. Karina Zayats is with us. She's worked on a project at USA Today looking at new policies, mapping new policies that different communities have put into place just over the last few months. Well, let's get back to the idea of funding cuts for the police departments. Have we seen those? How common are they in communities?
Yeah, we have seen. And if, for example, most protesters demanded defunding, but the most widespread change, unfortunately, isn't defunding. But some of the departments made cuts. For example, I mentioned before Louisville. There, $1.2 million will be reassigned from the Metro Police Department to programs that focus on homelessness and mental health. And so far, New York City has made one of the biggest cuts. It was $1 billion, and some of this money has been relocated to education and family and social services.
People have also called for various kinds of de-escalation techniques for police departments. Has that been common in communities?
Yeah, and actually de-escalation is this term that really encompasses a lot of things. And some mean, just implementing some de-escalation techniques, and others want some warnings before shootings. And in Atlanta, de-escalation techniques will now be required before an officer employs deadly force. Boston, Massachusetts, and Grand Rapids, Michigan also implemented new de-escalation policies. Officers there will now be required to give a verbal warning before using force. Other cities are decreasing their reliance on police in nonviolent situations, and they hope that by doing that, they can help in reducing de-escalation.
Another common theme in protests and some changes around the country has to do with transparency. What kind of ideas have protesters called for there?
Yeah, many protesters have asked for creating a board overseeing the police, as I mentioned before. So, for example, Columbus has created a working group to establish a citizens' review board over police, and this board would even have a subpoena power. Smaller cities have been requiring body cameras. In a lot of these smaller cities, officers and police cars actually aren't equipped with cameras. So this was a big, important step for them.
Big picture, a lot of communities have done one or two things, but looking at your charts, it doesn't seem like a lot of these changes have been put into effect. Is it just too soon, do you think? Are you watching for more communities tackling these issues in the weeks and months to come?
Yeah, I think that important part of any social movement is to follow up and to see if the local governments are implementing the changes that the protesters have been asking for. I think that with time, we should see more and more changes, and it won't happen if people don't express their desires, what they want, and don't keep pushing on their local governments.
So what are you watching for next when it comes to how communities are responding to protests when it comes to police reform?
I think we have seen bans on chokeholds implemented. We have seen some defunding reforms also put in place. But we haven't seen a lot of things that have to do with training and also with de-escalation policies. And I hope that more cities will focus on these areas.
One other issue that you looked at, I think, was required intervention by officers. That is, if an officer believes another officer is using violence inappropriately, for example, they'd have to intervene. Is that something many departments and communities are tackling?
Yeah, it actually is. But what's interesting is that it's really common in smaller cities. So, for example, Greensboro or Newport News in Virginia has implemented this, but not so common, you know, like in bigger cities.
Karina, thanks so much for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Karina Zayats works with the graphics team at USA Today. She talked with us about reforms in policing that are happening at the state and city levels in the months since the killing of George Floyd. Over at the USA Today website, they've got graphics with maps and charts showing some of the different reforms we've talked about and how communities are putting them into effect. You can let us know what's going on in your community. If you're with a police department or a city council, love to hear from you what you have maybe in the works in the weeks and months to come. You can email us, ideas@WPR.org. That's ideas@WPR.org. Or tweet us @CentralTimeWPR.